Today's Monday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast is brought to you by No Halftime. No Halftime is an Apple app that allows you to compete in player versus player daily fantasy sports contests. Use the promo code BBALL for a free $25 at sign up. That's No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. All right, guys, let's get started. Daniel Green, welcome to the show, buddy.
What's going on, man? Hope you had a nice holiday.
Oh, I definitely did. You have a good holiday?
I did, man. Thanks for asking. Good to be back on the show. I missed you. I'm not going to lie. It's been forever.
I think the big question on everybody's mind is what's the department store? Urban Outfitters?
Urban Outfitters. Come on. You know what it is. Stop trying to pretend you don't
know. I had a mental block there for a second. Is she online right now? Like, is she here with us?
Dude, come on, man. She's not here with us.
Oh, man.
But we do have a guest. We do have a guest with us.
We do have a guest. Before we reveal our special guest, why don't you quickly give us a brief synopsis of what happened with the No Halftime Girl? Because I think, surprisingly, like that might be the thing that our listeners are most interested in.
Wait, you mean the Urban Outfitters Girl? You said the No Halftime Girl. I'm like, is there another
girl? I'm sorry. I mixed this up. Urban Outfitters Girl.
So you want a quick synopsis of what happened?
Yeah, I got maybe like 100 tweets and emails wondering what happened with this girl. So I think for completeness sake, we've got to put a bow on the story.
All right. I mean, well, first of all, the story's not over yet, Mark.
Okay.
There's still hope. There's still hope. I think as when we left off last time, you know, there's this girl that I've been crushing on for about 8 months. She works at Urban Outfitters. In the first, like, 4 months or so, I was dating someone else, so I couldn't make a move. And then slowly, Mark, over the last, like, you know, 4 months or so, I've been creeping in there, you know, having some nice dialogue with her.
Right.
And finally.
I think where we left off with our hero was you had given her your number, but you hadn't given you her number.
That's right. So finally, you know, things were going really well one day, so, you know, I basically, you know, said we should go out. She was very, seemed very... what's the right word? Enthusiastic about it. So she quickly, but then asked for my number, and me being the idiot, and I was just so happy, you know, that she was encouraged or wanted to go out, that I gave her my number, and then I didn't get her number, and then I did not hear from her for two to three days. So what happened after those 2 to 3 days? I had to go back to Urban Outfitters, right? I hadn't heard from her. You know, I was sad. I couldn't sleep. Couldn't eat. It was very depressing. But I didn't want to just go back into Urban Outfitters and be like, hi, you know, hi, so-and-so. I don't know if she mentioned her name on there. Hi, like, you know, why didn't you text me? Like, you know, I'm really sad. So yeah. I had to be sly about it, man.
You had to pretend like you had a different reason to go in.
Yeah, I had to pretend like, you know, I didn't even care. Like, you know, no big deal. So what I did, so I know she just recently got a cat. All you listeners, don't be laughing out there. Nothing wrong with getting a cat. So she got a cat. And every time I see her, she always talks about this cat. So I decided what I'm going to do is get her like some gifts, some holiday gifts, you know, and for her cat basically, and then bring those to the store. So I got like a cool pillow that I found at Barnes and Noble called, I think the pillow basically said, you know, I work hard so my cat doesn't have to. It was very clever, I thought. So yeah. I got that, which was super expensive, by the way, freaking pillow. I was that, you know, 25.
All right.
Anyway, and then I also went to PetSmart and I bought and I got a cat toy, like a $15 cat toy. I should have just bought it cheap. But anyway, then I go into the store, and then you know she's working. I go up like kind of sly, like, you know, not, you know, like I didn't really care too much, and I give her the gifts. Dude, she's so elated. Never seen like a smile that big. She gave me a hug, gave me a kiss, was on the cheek. Was very into it, though, was very excited, and then, you know, after we start talking after that, and then I finally kind of said, hey, you know, why don't you should have texted me, and then she was like, oh, yeah, you know, I know, totally my bad, I'll definitely text you, though, like, tonight, and then, you know, it was really busy, because this was, around the holidays time, so we didn't have, too much time to talk, another hug and kiss, I thought, for sure, I'm going to get a text after that, right, because I just crushed it, like, that was the greatest gift ever, and then still no text, I got no text, nothing,
oh, man.
And now it's been like, what, 7 days maybe? So it's not looking good for me and Urban Outfitters Girl. But I still got one play left. So we'll see. So next show, there may be one last final update. I'm still clinging on to, like, I have like a 2% chance, I think, at this point.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to the next update.
Thanks, man.
And we're all pulling for you, Daniel.
Thanks for bringing that up on the show.
We're all friends here. All right. And our other guest tonight is the mastermind behind No Halftime, the co-founder, Bruce.
Hey guys. Hey. Pleasure to be with you guys.
Bruce, you could have jumped in and saved me from that story, man.
Oh man, no, I was actually enjoying the story, man. I was wondering where it was gonna go, you know, where it was gonna lead to. So I was captivated, man.
Yeah, no doubt, Bruce. We pleasure's all on our side. We appreciate you joining us. We want to talk some basketball with you.
Let's do it.
Maybe get a little information about No Halftime as well.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, so we haven't had a podcast since last Wednesday, and here it is Monday due to the holidays. There's actually been a lot of fairly major injury news, so we're going to try to go over that with you all today, get you ready for to set your lineups for, what is it, week 10 now? I believe it's week 10. I think the first news we need to talk about is Blake Griffin. Word came out that he has a partially torn left quad tendon. He is out a minimum of 2 weeks. The reports I read said they fully expect him to be back within 3 weeks, so I think there were some people concerned when they saw minimum 2 weeks that it could be much, much longer. And it still could be, you know, to be honest, but looks like 2 to 3 week injury. Daniel, I'll start with you. What do you think happens in the interim between the time Griffin is out and the time he returns? Who do you think picks up the slack for the Clippers?
Mark, first, Urban Outfitter Girl does not text me. And then, secondly, I played Josh Smith in DFS yesterday, and I went all in on Josh Smith because I heard he was going to be the starter. And it was actually a late swap situation on DraftKings, because I think it was after lineup lock on FanDuel. But I went all in on Josh Smith because he was going to start yesterday for Blake. And Josh Smith played 4 minutes. Four.
I mean, I guess the good news is he was the starter, right?
I mean, I'm speechless. I don't know how to answer that. Like, I think yes, he was the starter, but like he did not start the second half. Like, which I guess would have been equally like embarrassing, right? If he played like 2 minutes in the first half and then 2 minutes in the second half, but he played the first 4 minutes of the game. Like, and from like what I saw, he didn't look great, but like didn't do anything like god awful that he deserved to be benched the next 44 minutes. And then Doc Rivers ended up starting Paul Pierce in the second half. And so, you know, suffice to say, Josh Smith got me, I think, you know, one or two DraftKings points, and I lost hundreds of dollars. But, you know, like to me, like, it's still got to be Josh Smith. Like, I don't think you can rely on Paul Pierce to play, you know, 30 minutes a night, especially, you know, why? Why waste Paul Pierce in the regular season right now? And I don't think, you know, Wesley Johnson, I mean, you could give a little more minutes to Jamal Crawford, Mbah Mute. I mean, come on, how many minutes do you really want to give that guy? So I think it's still got to be Josh Smith, but look, I mean, if he got 4 minutes last game, that shows you he's not going to be – his leash is not going to be very long. So
right. No, I'm still a little – Bruce, do you have any different take on this situation? What do you think going on in Los Angeles?
You know, I think what's going on with the Clippers, man, I think it's interesting in the fact that I don't know if you can really trust Josh Smith anymore. Think about it. You know, the guy's been – you know, he got cut from Detroit, right? But that was more of a salary cap casualty, right?
Right.
He went to Houston, and Houston, you know, they're the kings of, you know, picking up guys off the scrap heap and, you know, putting them into the lineup as long as they're efficient and productive. And he's no longer with the Rockets. So I'm wondering if Josh Smith is just, if we've seen the best of Josh Smith, and you know the future doesn't look as bright for that guy. So I don't know if I would trust him. I don't. And the other thing with Doc is, you know, he's always loved, you know, Paul Pierce. So I think he probably for the next 2 weeks, you know, with this injury, he's probably going to tinker with that lineup to see if they can, because they've already been having chemistry and depth issues. So I think he's going to tinker with that lineup for the next few weeks. And he's going to give minutes to Paul Pierce, especially in the West. You can't afford to lose any games in the West, you know, if you want to have, you know, a top spot in the West. So I'd be very leery of him.
No, I think Paul Pierce is an interesting guy. So he ended up playing 27 minutes in that game versus Utah that they won. He had 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 5 three-pointers. Basically his best game of the season. I'm not sure that it's close. I guess this is what I would say, Daniel, about Josh Smith, and you can tell me if I'm missing anything here. Before the Blake Griffin injury, somebody actually asked him about Josh Smith, and he said Josh Smith isn't in the rotation. Like we're not planning to play him. If he might get minutes here or there, but he's not part of our rotation right now.
Yep.
And you know, Doc is a guy like just seems like one of those guys that when he loses trust in a player, he doesn't play that player.
Yeah.
Think back last year to Spencer Hawes. They signed Spencer Hawes. He was supposed to be the third big man, and he basically didn't play.
He got buried on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it made no logical sense. Like, they ended up playing Glenn Davis in the playoffs, which didn't exactly help.
Oh, big baby. Yeah,
exactly. And I just think he trusts who he trusts, and if you're not on the list, I don't think there's a lot to do to get you back on the list. And
yeah, and I mean, for the most part, I do agree with that. And you know, and if you read all like the media reports coming out of Los Angeles, basically like every player hates on the Clippers hates playing with Josh Smith. And there were a bunch of like anonymous sources, and there were a bunch of, you know, kind of really negative quotes that were aimed at Josh Smith's direction. So like, I do agree with that. But with that said, the Clippers need something. Like, as they're, you know, currently constructed, they are, you know, they haven't played well this year. They're, you know, and the West is down this year, by the way. Like, currently the Utah with a losing record is in the playoff spot. So I think there are a couple games right now that they you know, can basically play with, and they could technically afford to lose. It's not going to kill them or really ruin their, you know, their chance to make the playoffs. So if there's a chance that they want to see what Josh Smith has, like, this, you couldn't ask for a better opportunity. So, well,
yeah, and I think the other side of that coin of like the pro Josh Smith argument here is they were playing Utah, who started, they were minus Rudy Gobert, they were minus Derek Favors, so they started Jeff Withey and Trey Lyles. I think they played some with Gordon Hayward at the four, and so it may have just been a situation where the Clippers went small because Utah wasn't extremely big. And
if there's two guys ever to worry about, you know, if you're a coach, it is Withy and Lyle.
Exactly.
that dynamic duo. I mean, wow.
It give you nightmares.
So what do you? I mean, what are you thinking as far as like short term plays? Like, if we were looking for somebody to take advantage of on no halftime, let's say, in the next couple of games, who do you think it is on the Clippers? Do you think it's Josh Smith or do you think it's Paul Pierce?
I mean, look, if I had to take, if I wanted a guy with upside, you know, I would still take a flyer on Josh Smith. Now, could that backfire and burn me again? Yeah, probably. But Paul Pierce, we know we're going to get out of Paul Pierce, right? And if I'm Doc, I don't really need to see that in the regular season. You know, I don't need to be playing Paul Pierce 30 minutes right now. So, you know, if it was me, you know, I'd probably go for the upside and take Josh Smith again and give him at least one more shot. But, you know, again, he's going to be on a short leash, and it's risky. I mean, Paul Pierce is definitely the safer play. But, you know.
What's your take on it, Bruce?
Yeah, I think I would probably lean towards Paul Pierce. The thing about Doc is I think he's a smart coach, and I think what he'll do is he'll manage – Paul Pierce's time, maybe limit him to 20 minutes per game, but it'll be an effective 20 minutes. And again, I think we know who Josh Smith is. We know he's a bad shot taker. We know he's a guy who doesn't make the best basketball IQ decisions. We know who he is, and I just don't see Josh. I don't see Doc. Falling in love with Josh Smith throwing up a 50-foot three-point shot.
Right.
So, yeah, so.
I think you could, like, in the no halftime challenges, I think you could have a good – if Paul Pierce is going to get 24 to 26 minutes a game, he's still fairly productive per minute. Yeah. So if he, you know, he can increase that minutes. I feel like you could catch some people off guards for sure, putting Paul Pierce in there in a challenge versus somebody that has maybe a little bit more name recognition, and then clean up with him.
Mark, I also think what we need to talk about real quickly is that, you know, as we saw this last year too, when Blake is out, I mean, the guy whose numbers skyrocket is DeAndre Jordan.
That's true.
So he becomes, like, not only for no halftime on any DFS site, like I played him yesterday in DFS as well, and unlike Josh Smith, he had a really good game. Like, his numbers are going to skyrocket, you know, more rebounding, you know, couple more, you know, just offensive, you know, opportunities on Ben himself. So DeAndre Jordan.
I like that one. Yeah, didn't he? I think I saw something that said he averaged like 19 rebounds a game when Blake was out last year.
He went nuts last year without Blake. And obviously CP3, his usage is going to go up as well. And he's been playing really well the last couple of weeks anyway. So
who do you think we could – I like that DeAndre Jordan play. Who do you think we could get – like you could put against DeAndre Jordan where you would feel pretty comfortable winning but also feel pretty comfortable people are going to take your challenge?
That's – I mean
– What do you guys think about DeMarcus Cousins? I mean, he's been having a good season, I think, so far. So
I think people – yeah. No, I think that's a good one. Do you think –
I still think people would take DeMarcus there, though, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Because I think you could definitely get people to take that challenge.
Yeah, I think one that would be a little bit better is maybe like Carl Anthony Towns, something like that.
Or Porzingis.
Porzingis would be another good one.
What about Whiteside? You could do Whiteside.
Whiteside would be intriguing.
Whiteside would be good, yeah.
Yeah,
those are all good ones.
No, I'm with you. I think DeAndre Jordan's a pretty safe bet for the next.
But I mean, like, that's the thing about DeAndre now. Like, his floor is always really safe because defensively he's gonna get rebounds. And now without Blake, like you said last year, I think it was like 19 boards without Blake. So and his offensive numbers go up a little bit as well. So his scoring. So he's a really good play right now in any site no halftime DFS. Like I'm telling you, I love DeAndre Jordan, and his price is still really low in DFS. So take advantage of it while you can because it's gonna go up fast.
Yep, agreed. It'll be a little while before people catch
DeAndre on. Jordan, Marc Gasol would be another rare.
Yeah, there's a good one.
Oh, yeah, that is a good one. That is a good one.
Bruce, I feel like we probably already kept you longer than you intended to be here. We appreciate your insights here. Do you want to give us maybe a little information, our listeners, a little information about No Halftime before we let you go?
Yeah, sure. So again, guys, I definitely appreciate you guys having us on or having me on. So as you guys know, No Halftime, it's a fantasy sports app, and it's all about the individual matchups. So the one-on-one matchups, and whether it be basketball, football, tennis, soccer, it's all about the one-on-one.
Daniel and I keep saying we're going to do a soccer matchup.
Wait, Bruce, okay. you guys have tennis too?
We will be adding ATP very soon. So
that is awesome. You guys might be the first platform I've seen with tennis.
Look, we're changing the game. We're changing the game. So
phenomenal.
We're excited, man. I think there's we love fantasy sports. So for me to get up in there, every day to do No Halftime. Is fun. So, and I think us adding some of these new sports, it's gonna be cool, man. I think it's really good. The users are gonna love what we're gonna do for ATP, for tennis, and for golf. We're gonna add golf too. So it's gonna be, golf is already on the system. So we're gonna have, we're gonna change the game, man. So it's gonna be fun.
Bruce, I don't want you to divulge too much or anything that you're not ready to announce yet, but do you have anything in the works that besides, obviously tennis is great. Do you have anything in the works that you can share with our listeners?
Oh, yeah. So I got to first thank all the listeners who've given us feedback. We've gotten so much positive feedback. We've gotten so much feedback in general, things that, folks want to see in the app. And one thing that we got, we were talking about before we started recording is we want to make sure that we get live stat feed into the app. That is one of the things that everyone wants to know. When is that going to be in the app? And so just to give your listeners a quick heads up, we're expecting to have that right around the March timeframe.
Bruce, did you hear that? That was the audience clapping when you mentioned that.
I thought Daniel had, got so excited he just collapsed out of his chair.
Daniel's
going to have to go take a cold shower after this podcast since you just shared that.
You guys should have some sound effects, man. Where's the sound effects?
That's about all we got, man.
We're low budget here. Okay. No, I'm serious. Daniel's going to have to go, on a long walk and... and cool off after hearing that good news.
No, the live scoring, I'm telling you, Bruce, it will be fantastic for the app. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I know a lot of our listeners and a lot of my followers definitely will be as well. So
that is great to hear. In the short term, we're also going to be adding some player stats to the back of the card, so that when the challenge is actually over, users can flip the card over and see the actual scores. So that's not going to be in play or not going to be live, but it'll be a stepping stone for live. So cause that's also, you know, users want to know, hey, you know, what was the final score? And, you know, how much did I win by? How much did I lose by? Etc. So, yeah, that's going to be some of the new features coming in. And then one other thing that we're going to add to is we're going to add $0 challenges. So now users can actually go in and just try out, you know, No Halftime for free, you know, without actually having to deposit anything. They can kind of play around in the system and create $0 challenges and, you know, just to kind of get a feel for it. And, you know, hopefully that'll keep them interested. And
Bruce?
You know, like we have.
Oh, sorry.
Yep.
No, that's awesome. Very cool. Daniel, do you have anything else you want to?
I just want to know, like, real quickly, Bruce. Like what you guys are doing is, you know, obviously right now we've seen, you know, so many DFS sites, and it's all kind of, you know, you've seen one site, you kind of seen them all at this point. But yeah. So how'd you guys come up with the idea? Because I mean, your idea is very innovative. It's very unique, and it's really cool. It's kind of cutting edge. How did you guys come up with kind of the one-on-one, you know, fantasy app?
Yeah. So I gotta tell you. So we've been playing fantasy sports, you know, for a long time, and as you know, with that, you know, we look at each other's teams, you know, in the traditional fantasy, especially with fantasy football, and we'll say, hey, you know, I turn to one of the other guys and say, hey, look, I think my quarterback is going to do better than your quarterback next week. And obviously, you know, you take a little bit of pride in your team, you know, you take a little bit of pride in the team you drafted. And, you know, we thought to ourselves, hey, other people have to be doing this. Other people have to be saying, you know, I think this guy is going to do better than that guy. And boom, you know, No Halftime kind of rose from the ashes of that. And then also too, with DFS, we wanted to simplify it. You know, we wanted to say, look, you don't have to worry about, you know, salaries. You don't have to worry about, you know, all you got to worry about is one player, one guy, and that's it. You know, one guy against another guy, boom, you challenge your friends that you have a No Halftime challenge.
That's by far my favorite part is I don't have to spend 2 or 3 hours building a lineup. Like if I know, hey, DeAndre Jordan does well when Blake Griffin is out, it's the easiest way for me to take advantage of that knowledge.
Exactly. And there's always another guy who thinks if the challenge you create is, you know, it's fairly even, there's always another guy who believes or thinks that the other player in that challenge is going to do better. You know, there was I created an NFL challenge this week that, you know, I thought that Russell Wilson was going to do better than Tom Brady. You know, obviously, you know, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson. So there's always going to be someone who thinks, you know, Tom Brady's going to do better. And, it's fantasy sports, mm-hmm. man. It's our passion. So, yeah, we love it.
All right, last question. I've gotten this one from a couple of listeners. So how else we'd find out the answer? Tell us where the name came from.
Ah, No Halftime. So No Halftime was born from the fact that with our platform, with our app, fantasy sports really never takes a break. It's 365. You know, we have all of the major sports. And with that said, you know, basketball, football, hockey, you know, tennis soon, EPL. So across the board, you know, you can play now fantasy, daily fantasy every day you wake up, you know. So as soon as you get up, you can go check out the Urban Outfitter Girl. You know, you can
really, Bruce. Oh, you're killing me.
You can get on Tinder. You know, you can swipe left and right, check out, you know, find the date for the night, and then boom, you can get on No Halftime and create a challenge, and there you go. You know, it's the fantasy sports. The fantasy sports season never takes a break. It truly, you know, No Halftime is truly that in its essence.
Well, Bruce, we definitely appreciate you sharing with us and sticking around with us. Talk to us a little bit about No Halftime and about the Clippers situation. Just to remind everybody, if you want to, Bruce mentioned the free challenges, which are great. If you want to get an even better challenge or even better offer, which is a free $25 to play with, use the promo code we already mentioned, which is BBALL. That's B-B-A-L-L. You get a free $25 for signing up, and you can go play some live real money challenges with that.
Yep.
All right, Bruce. Well, like I said, we appreciate your time. Thanks again for coming on. Do you want to just, before you go, tell everybody where they, if they want to get in contact with you, is there a place on Twitter or at your website or something you want to tell us about?
Oh, yeah. So definitely. So obviously everyone can check us out on www.nohalftime.com. Also, we're on Twitter, nhalftime.com. I'm sorry, nhalftime is our Twitter handle.
That's not the first time we've done that. So.
And we're usually pretty good about checking the handle. So guys, you know, anyone has any feedback, we really want to make this the best app possible. So any feedback that anyone has, we actually sit, whenever we get feedback on Twitter, you know, Facebook, email, we actually have a meeting and discuss all of the feedback, you know, so whether it's big or small, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, that No Halftime, you know, is the best product out there on the market, and also that, you know, our users are happy. So if anyone has anything that they want us to try to incorporate into the app, hit us up on Twitter. You can check us out on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, No Halftime. So if you go to facebook.com/No Halftime, you'll see the page. Check us out and leave us some feedback. Oh, and rate us in the App Store. Five stars, yep. Please.
All right, Dad. Thanks a lot, Bruce. We'll be able to get you back on here again soon.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, man, a lot of fun. Thanks for joining.
All right, guys. Thanks, take care.
Yep. All right, Daniel, let's talk about some of the other injury news that happened over the week, the weekend, right, the holiday
hold
week.
Hold on, Mark. Hold on. First of all.
Are we going back to the Urban Outfitters girl?
We only are, but two things.
Oh.
First, Mark. I almost called you like Markalicious. Like, do you have like I need a nickname for you, Mark, by the way. Any of you listeners, you guys can have a nickname for Mark. Let's keep it clean. I need a nickname for you. Anyway, but you totally – I knew we were going to talk about Urban Outfitters girl, but like I didn't think in front of Bruce. Like I thought it'd be like after and then I could open up. Like I felt very nervous in front of Bruce, like telling the story. So
you realize there's like several thousand people that listen to the podcast, right? It's more than just Bruce. Or no, you realize that we send these out, like a lot of people listen to this.
Again, it's normally I just think it's just me and you talking hoops, talking life, talking girls. I don't think about all the people actually listening. But then Bruce was right here, so I was like, you know, so I felt like I had to like rush the story, and I there's so many moving parts that I feel it didn't do the audience justice. Anyway,
you were flustered a little bit. I apologize for that. That's my fault. You can take a negative point and put it on my scorecard.
And pre-show, I thought we're doing the Urban Outfitters after we let Bruce do his thing, talk about Lovely No Halftime. Anyway,
well, you can't bury the lead, man. That's what they always say in the show biz. You can't bury the lead. That's the lead.
All right, that's my first point. So I'm sorry, you know, the audience. I apologize if my description did not do the justice to the story. It does have many moving parts. But secondly, I want to get your input on this. As you know, it's been a sad couple of days for me, you know, since I'm getting no texts since, you know, through the holiday season. So if I had to, you know, come up with a sad song to listen to, like I've been listening to Phil Collins, One More Night. And like, listen to, and like, so do you think this is a good song for me to be listening to in light of my current experience with Urban Outfitter girl? Like, listen to the lyrics, Mark.
You can't play that song on our podcast.
I'm not playing it. I'm just saying, listen to the lyrics. I can read out the lyrics.
I thought you were going to, okay. Yeah. You can read the lyrics.
Yeah. Ready? Here you go. I've been trying oh so long to let you know how I feel. And if I stumble, if I fall, just help me back. So I can make you see.
All right.
Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
So So is that like an adequate song to be playing? Like, can you think of a better one?
I'm not like the biggest Phil Collins fan, but it seems like maybe appropriate for the.
Yeah, I'm not like
especially if it's you know, hitting home for you.
Yeah, but if any of our listeners can think of a better song that I can listen to as I cry myself to sleep, let me know. All right, I'm ready to take basketball on.
All right. You got it all out of your system?
I mean, we'll see. You know, totally got me flustered though.
All right, let's talk Eric Bledsoe. Over the weekend, I worked out which I thought was a pretty good trade. I traded Kristaps Porzingis for Eric Bledsoe.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. It was a keeper league, so.
Okay.
You know, it's not as lopsided as it sounds, but I was pretty excited to get Eric Bledsoe in that deal. The team I was trading with was looking to rebuild a little bit. And, you know, so we completed the trade. It went through. And then that night he got hurt. So I don't know if I jinxed him or something, but I definitely am not thrilled with the news. He has a torn meniscus, and it sounds like they're going to go in and remove a piece of the meniscus, which is not – there's basically two ways you can go with a torn meniscus. You can let it repair, which takes a long time to heal, or you can go in, cut a piece of it out, and they can be back. You know, history says they can be back really quickly. Like Brandon Roy came back in that situation in about 8 days.
Yeah,
the problem is Brandon Roy's career didn't last for very much longer.
Exactly. I mean, the research is pretty clear by now. Like if you're taking like, you know, a more career oriented long term view, you don't want to have that surgery.
You want to have it repaired. Yeah.
You don't want to rush back.
And sometimes it's not an option. Sometimes you just have to cut it out. And it seems like that's where it is with Eric Bledsoe. So it's not a good thing for his career.
No.
But for his fantasy value this season, it actually means he's going to be able to be back quite a bit quicker than if it was simply repaired. We're still looking at, you know, they'll want to make sure he's fully ready to go. It might be the All-Star break before he's back. Although the alternative where they repair it, I think Derrick Rose sat out the majority of a season to try to repair his meniscus.
Yeah, but if D Rose had like an eyelash, he would sit out the remainder of the season. but that is true. Yeah, D Rose basically sat out almost, you know, it was like 4 months.
Yeah, with the repair. So
and for Phoenix, you talk about, first of all, this team is stumbling, you know, quicker than me at Urban Outfitters right now. You know how bad they're doing. You know, there's talk about them, you know, firing Jeff Hornacek.
Yeah, so not only did Eric Bledsoe go down.
Yeah.
Markieff Morris threw a towel at Jeff Hornacek and got suspended for 2 games.
He threw a towel, Mark, in Hornacek's direction. We don't know if it was, I've heard differing stories.
He was suspended. No, all I'm saying, I'm not judging intent, but he hit Jeff Hornacek with a towel. He threw a towel and hit Jeff Hornacek.
which is awesome.
And received a 2-game suspension for that action.
So much.
And then they lost to Philadelphia, who, if you weren't aware, is not good at basketball.
No. In Mike D'Antoni's first game coaching.
And now there are rumors that Jeff Hornacek could be fired. So with all of these weird things happening with suspensions and injuries and maybe a coaching change, is there any way that we can take advantage of the situation for our fantasy lineups?
Yeah, man. As me and you have discussed, like Phoenix is actually a team that has talent. Like they have some talent on that bench, and if we knew which guys would get minutes, they would be guys that we'd want to devour up on that waiver wire. The problem is with Hornacek, God only knows who he's going to play. So, you know, when I heard this news, two things immediately. I'm like, dear God, I got to take advantage of this. And then I was like, oh my God, it's Hornacek. Like, what the hell? You know, who would I pick up? But ultimately, because to me it's a three person race, really a 2-person race, and then I boiled it down. You know, I picked one, and that's Devin Booker. And you can let me know if you agree or disagree. So to me, it was there's Devin Booker, T.J. Warren, and Ronnie Price for the three guys who I kind of thought were most likely to take advantage of it. Now we all know it could become a timeshare, and it could become an absolute mess, and that wouldn't be surprising either. But I think Booker's going to get the first shot at it. You know, when Bledsoe hurt his knee on Saturday, Booker actually started the second half, and he looked really good. He had 19 points and 3 three-pointers. So I think he's going to get the first crack. I like him. He's got a nice upside. He's talented. I've seen him play a good amount. So that's the guy who I think, you know, I took a flyer on. I added him in about three leagues immediately. So that's where I'm going. Yeah. Do you agree with me? Are you with me or no?
I agree with some of the things you said. So I think you're right. I think it's not a totally
not a clear cut case.
Yeah, I don't think that they're necessarily even going to plug somebody in. Like, I think one day it could be Devin Booker. I think the next day it could be Sonny Weems. I think the next day it could be Archie Goodwin, and they do some different things. I do think this first crack they're going to give is Devin Booker, and I agree he has looked good.
Yep.
From looking at things from a fantasy perspective, though, I worry about his upside. Like, I think he does have a long term future as like a very good NBA player, but right now it seems like the one thing and maybe the only thing he's going to really give you is points. Like, I'm not sure he's going to be able to give you a lot of in the defensive categories or assists or rebounds. So he might give you 3-pointers and points, and that's about it.
Yeah, I don't want to cut you off, but real quickly, Phoenix plays 5 times this week, guys. 5 times.
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah.
So to make everything more complicated, they're going to play 5 times next week.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Which is really, yeah, not it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, maybe like once or twice a year.
So I guess my advice for next week in the short term, if you've got a weekly locks league, I think you're locking in anybody who could maybe get minutes. Like if they're help, like John Laura is not a bad play next week if he's going to get, because even if he averages 10 and 8, that's 50 points and 40 rebounds.
Yep.
Right, you know, think about how many rebounds a guy has to average in 3 games to beat that. He basically has to average, what, 17 rebounds, 13 rebounds? Yeah, 13 rebounds a game to beat John Laura. You know, PJ Tucker is probably a guy I would be willing to play if you're looking for steals.
God, I wish he would.
Alex Len is maybe a guy. Like, I think you're playing a lot of Phoenix guys in weekly lock leagues or even in daily moves league if you can pick them up, if you have a pickup restriction, just because you're going to be able to get him in your lineup so often. And they actually play 4 games between Wednesday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So in a daily moves league, you could wait till Wednesday, pick up a Phoenix guy, and you're going to get 4 games out of him for the rest of the week. So if you want to go pick up Devin Booker, I mean, you might get between Wednesday and Sunday, you might get 8 to 10 3-pointers.
Yep.
Miritich is going to, or Toledovich, not Miritich, Toledovich, Warren, Chandler. I think a lot of those guys are going to be interesting this week. And then by the end of the week, we should have a good feel for, you know, what their rotation is going to look like. I think, you know, unless they do change the coaching situation, which is possible.
It's fascinating that they're actually, you know, that there could be a coaching change. Because obviously, if they really are considering making a coaching change, then Hornacek has to play to win, right? Which then you're looking at maybe he does play PJ Tucker some more minutes if he really has to win some games.
I don't want to speculate, but I saw some comments from people who are much smarter than I am that they felt like Hornacek was coaching to get out of there.
Really?
Like coaching in a way. And I can't say that I've watched it closely enough that I've recognized that, but like I know Haralabob Bulgaris was talking about that on Twitter, and I saw it in a couple other places where they basically felt like, hey, this isn't how Hornacek was coaching when he was doing so well earlier in his career. I wonder if he just wants to get out of there.
I mean, I guess I've seen crazier things in sports, but I mean, that would, you know, considering there's only, you know, there are what, 30 of these jobs, that would, to me, that'd be a little crazy, but hey, I guess
I'm fed up with Marquise Morris. He's had it.
Yeah. I mean, who knows, but again, like that will dictate a lot of, you know, I think if a new coach comes in, you know, versus, you know, Hornacek, again, if he's fighting for his job.
Do you know who, I don't know the answer to this question, so I don't expect you to know, but do you know who like the lead assistant is in Phoenix? Because that's who would take over the job.
No, I'm trying to Google it, but I mean, while I'm Googling it, I guess what we should say, you know, if since we didn't say it, and it should be pretty much, what's the right word? What's the term, Mark, when you should know it without having to say it?
I don't know.
God, well, I can't think of it either. Anyway, but the guy, this is obviously honestly, isn't it? And like what I love, sometimes I'll go back and listen to a podcast between me and you, and there'll be like these 4 or 5 like awkward silences, and like they're pretty phenomenal. I gotta say, I'm a big fan of the awkward silences during podcast. But so, you know, obviously Brandon Knight, right? So Brandon Knight should become a – he's in theory should be a monster. Yeah. Because, like, one of the big issues with him, like, he'd have a good game, but his upside was clearly capped by Bledsoe. But without Bledsoe, like, you know, gobbling up the ball and his monster usage rate, I'm going to be – it's going to be, like, riveting maybe a little bit strong, but interesting at least to see, you know, what does Brandon Knight do? Because, you know, in Milwaukee with Jason Kidd, he was kind of limited. With Hornacek, he was limited here by Bledsoe. So, you know, playing in that up-tempo system without Bledsoe, Knight could be an absolute monster.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably when we, you know, that's probably the most sure guy. Like if you want to try to take advantage of DFS or no halftime or something, I think Brandon Knight's the most.
I mean, like, you know,
sure thing there.
Yeah, you know, are we talking about DeAndre Jordan? You know, right now for the Clippers. I mean, you know, same thing here, except you know maybe times it by 10 with Brandon Knight. So it's. I mean, he could take like 25 shots a game right now. So. It's going to be, you know, fascinating to see what he does.
Yeah, I agree. And I just think that, you know, there's plenty of opportunities with anybody who's getting five games in a week to get them in your lineup. But I'm not sure that any of these guys have long-term value between now and the time that Bledsoe gets back. Although it'll be, like I said, I think at the end of these five games, we may have a better picture of if it's Booker or if it's, I mean, I think Archie Goodwin, if they all got the same amount of minutes, is probably as interesting as anyone, but the fact that he didn't even get off the bench in the game that Bledsoe got hurt, I think really limits his upside. Like I wouldn't be putting him in any lineup.
And that's what made no sense. Like Ronnie Price, like somehow scored 20 points on Wednesday, right?
You guys are 10-18. Like you're really going to play Ronnie Price?
I mean, hey,
whatever.
He's still playing PJ Tucker, who's like 70. So I'm doing and I cannot find who's the lead assistant
for the lead assistant. I think is Jerry. I'm not sure if I'm saying this last name right.
Jerry McNamara.
Sitching. I don't know. He used to play for the. I'm watching a video right now. Actually, when he got into a fight with Ralph Sampson in the 1986 finals. So
never heard
that's his big claim to fame. But he's never coached. He's never been a head coach in the NBA. We don't even know for sure if it would be him, but none of the assistants look like they. So there's no. We're way ahead of ourselves anyway, but it's not like a former head coach is sitting on the bench. It's not like Nate McMillan is sitting there on the bench, and we know how he coaches, so we can give any advice there.
They should just go get D'Antoni. Like after the Philly game, they should have just went to the Philly bench, said D'Antoni, come back to Phoenix. There you go. Could have completed that.
If he would have turned him down, man, that would have been the low point of all these lows. he rejected him to stay in Phoenix.
I mean,
all right.
So let's move on to your favorite player in the NBA.
The other big, all right. Let's get into it, and then I can refute your claims there. All right. Alec Burks, Utah's shooting guard, got injured in Monday's game. When I saw the play, I actually thought he just had a concussion. I mean, he had a pretty serious concussion, so I don't mean to say just a concussion, because it looked. Did you see the play?
Yep. Yeah. No, I was watching live, and then everyone. Yeah. I thought a concussion. Everyone on Twitter was basically just tweeting out concussion. You know, we all try to play.
Like, I mean, he landed. He hit his head. He made some pretty unnatural movements. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was worried that there was going to be something more serious than a concussion. So,
Mark, were you really worried?
I was worried.
Were you?
And then it turns out he also fractured his ankle.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a good day for Alec Burks.
No.
You think I'm happy about this?
Well, I mean, I think the listeners know your feelings toward Alec Burks.
So my feelings can be separated. Like my fantasy feelings of giving a recommendation on a player can be separated from how I feel about a player. I actually like Alec Burks, and Utah is the closest team to me, so I watch them more closely than a lot of the NBA teams. I think he's a good player. I just don't think it convert. You know, kind of the same conversation we just had with Devin Booker. Like, I think he's an exciting young player.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's going to hit the marks in the categories that he needs to have like a really high ceiling.
Yeah, no,
is similar.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I know. No, I felt like really bad for the guy when I watched him go down the way he went down. That was That was not great.
Yeah, he's definitely – he's had some bad luck in his short career too, so.
And speaking of bad luck, Utah has had some bad luck. Like, they didn't have enough – they had an off day on Saturday, and they decided not to have a practice because they didn't have enough players to practice. Rudy Gobert is still out indefinitely at this point. Derek Favors is out, although he should be back in the next couple of games. Alec Burks is obviously out. How do you think we can take advantage of this situation for fantasy? Like, who do you think are the main beneficiaries here?
Before I get into that, so right now, it's weird because everyone thinks the West is still so great and the East, you know, stinks. And that's not the case this year. Like, besides Golden State, who's great, the West has been, and San Antonio, you know, the West has been pretty crappy, quite honestly. And the East, there's a lot of, you know, good to at least above average teams in the East. So right now, who do you think that is the team in eighth place, and what would you think their record is?
Oh, let's see. I actually looked at this morning. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember if the Jazz are 12-16. I can't remember if they were in seventh or eighth place, and then the Kings were below them. And so I can't remember who is in seventh and if they were in seventh and eighth or eighth and ninth.
Okay, well, Utah is in eighth place.
Yeah,
you're right. They're 12-16. And that would make the playoffs right now. And
the Kings are basically the same record.
The Kings are 12-17. Yeah, so they're basically the same. And they're playing tonight. So I'm trying to see if the Kings won tonight. But I think they had an easy game tonight. But so, like, that's how this injury actually, like, as much as it doesn't seem like it's that important, like, Utah's fighting for a playoff spot. So it's actually somewhat of a big injury. And then, where is Sacramento today?
They're playing.
Sacramento's losing to Portland without Dame. Sacramento should be ashamed of themselves. See, the West stinks, man. I mean, the West is
CJ McCollum has 34 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 steals, and the game is not over. It's impressive.
Wow. I mean, that is impressive. And my boy Myers Leonard, 29 minutes, 14 points. Anyway, going. All right. So
we've never really talked about conference disparity. My theory has always been, the reason that the East has sucked for so long is because there has been one clearly dominant team. And this isn't always true, but, like, I think in generalities, like, I think because Michael was there and then not long after LeBron was there, like, teams end up not trying as hard because they feel like there's no way they can compete with those teams. And in the West, it's always just kind of been a bloodbath because there's been 3 or 4 or 5 good teams, but nobody has separated themselves. And so I think it'll be interesting to see now that, like, Golden State has clearly separated themselves, that teams like, you know, Portland last year, who probably felt like they had a really good chance, a team like that wouldn't feel like they had a chance and would just blow it up now. So I wonder if that's part of the reason that the West is not as good as they used to be, is that there's, like, this one clear team that's better than everybody else and nobody really thinks they can get past them. And so they need to build for the future.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't really given it a whole lot of thought, quite honestly. But, I mean, if you look at just, like, glancing quickly, like, the West, a lot of those teams are just been getting older. Like, the Clippers now, those guys kind of are getting older. Dallas.
But like, the Clippers have always felt like they had a chance, right? They have two of the top 12 or 15 best players in the league.
Yeah.
And, like, but now if they go through this and they lose in the first round again or they get embarrassed by Golden State, like, how long are they really going to keep their team together? Whereas, like, if Golden State didn't exist, they would probably just keep running it back and say, one of these years we're going to break through. We're just going to keep our core together. And I think that just makes for a lot of, like, very good teams. But when you have one elite team in there and nobody feels like they can measure up, then they feel like, hey, we got to do something different. We got to break this down and we got to build. And I think that's been happening in the East for a long time. Like, nobody feels like they can compete with LeBron. And so they're not trying to win now. They're trying to build for the future.
Yeah, but I would still say, you know, look, Cleveland's, you know, well, they've lost the last two, including to the Dameless Portland Trailblazers. But to me, Cleveland is by far still the best team in the East. I mean, they're doing that without Kyrie Irving. So, like,
No. That's my point is, like, the East has this team that's – and so there aren't any other, like, awesome teams out in the East because they don't feel like they can measure up with the Cavs, so they're just playing, you know, they're building for the future still.
Right, but so what's your theory about Golden State now, though? Because Golden State is by far the best team right now.
Well, that's why I think we're seeing the West get worse collectively, because now all these teams are going to start measuring themselves, and maybe already have started measuring themselves against the Warriors. Whereas before, there wasn't an elite team they could say, hey, if things break right, we could be the Mavericks. Like, we could come through and win the championship. Now they're going to look at it and be like, we're not getting past the Warriors. So we're not going to keep Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, and Mike Conley together, because that core is never going to beat the Warriors. We've got to break this up and go for something better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I could get behind that argument. I mean, I can't think of a better one right now, other than just
The West hasn't had that for so many years. And that's why they've been so competitive, is because everybody feels like they have a chance. And so they keep like building for now. They make, like, Portland traded a draft pick for Aaron Aflalo last year because they thought they could get to the finals. And I just think that there's not going to be as many teams. And we've already seen this. There are less teams that feel like they can compete with the Warriors. And so they're not making those moves. I think we've seen that in the East for a long time, because nobody feels like they can compete with LeBron.
But yeah,
that's a whole nother argument we don't probably need to get into on our podcast. But
you brought it up. I'm giving you 2 points for that argument. That's
does that mean I'm out of the hole?
Yeah, no, you're dominating me. You're up 12-4.
All right, so Utah, what do we do with this situation? They've got a bunch of guys hurt. Rigobert's still hurt. Favors might be out a little bit. Burks is out. Obviously, Dante Exum is out. Who's going to, who do you think we can rely on there to give us some production?
There's just nothing too sexy about Utah. I mean, like, the one good thing, at least for my own teams, I loved me some Rodney Hood going into the year. Don't even ask me why. Like, I'm not sure if I fell on my head as a kid or what the deal was behind that. But so I had a ton of Rodney Hood, and now he's going to get all the minutes he can handle. Like, again, he was already the starting shooting guard. He was getting more minutes than Alec Burks was anyway. So I expect Hood to get more minutes, and I just expect the starters to get more minutes. Like, I don't really know what else to do. I don't want to.
But three of the starters aren't there. Like, who? Like,
I meant like, ride Gordon Hayward more. I mean, like,
right.
But like, we've talked about Utah in the past, right? Like, what do you do? Like, I don't really want to add Joe Ingles. I don't want to fall asleep with players on my fantasy team.
Joe Ingles' mom's going to be very disappointed.
I mean, like, Joe Ingles, he's got some mad passion skills. I liked playing him last year in DFS, when he was minimum price. He came in and he actually had some game. But, like, Nato, Burke, I'm not big fans of these guys. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm taking a wait-and-see approach. Look, if there's one guy that if you could pounce, I'm not sure, like, what his ownership, level is. If Rodney Hood's still available in any of your leagues, and he may be. I know he's not owned in, like, 80% of leagues, so – gobble up Rodney Hood, all the minutes he can handle right now. DFS going to be a great play, definitely this week.
And then his ranking he's owned in 19% of ESPN leagues.
Wait, how many?
19.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. So right now, pause the podcast, shop at Urban Outfitters online, and then go gobble up Rodney Hood. Like, that's what you need to do. Like, Rodney Hood, like, he should be getting 38 to 40 minutes and all the shots he can handle right now, especially, like Mark said, with the other starters out as well. So, I'm a big fan of Rodney Hood in the short term. And then I'm going to take a wait and see approach. I mean, I guess if I had to take, I guess Trey Burke maybe, but like, they're just not reliable, man. Like, none of those guys. What about you? Is there anyone besides Rodney Hood that you would feel comfortable adding?
I think Rodney Hood is the big winner. I agree with you. I think they're going to continue to kind of like spread around the minutes. Like, I don't think they're going to go to one guy in particular, but I think Rodney Hood is going to be able to take on a bigger playmaking role. And I think that's where because he's gotten minutes already this season, but I think even if he doesn't play a ton more minutes, he's going to play a different role for them.
All right. His usage rate is going to go up. Yeah, and he's going to become more of a playmaker. He's going to have more opportunities. And that's
like, I think Booker's just going to get more minutes and Trey Lyles is going to, but these guys are all going to go up by like 5 to 10 minutes. Whitney's going to start playing and Elijah Millsap's going to get 12 to 15 minutes off the bench.
And I'm going to give up.
He's going to get 12 minutes off the bench. I think, Joe Ingles is the one guy where he doesn't have a super high ceiling, but you could certainly, DFS or no halftime, take advantage of him if he's going to get 25 minutes a game, because he can do some interesting things.
He does. He actually does fill up the stat sheets. And as much as I was making fun of Joe Ingles, and he's not very fast or he doesn't really look like he's athletic or an NBA player for that matter, but he actually is pretty talented and does feel like, you know, does fill up the stats again. Did make me a lot of money last year in DFS. So, you know, again, and the cool thing about him, he gets you assists. So if you're in a league and need assists, he's not a bad guy if you want to stream for the week. So, you know, I don't mind him, you know, I guess. But that 19% for Rodney Hood, that was surprising. I thought it would be closer to like 40 to 45%. But, yeah, wow, 19%.
Yeah, go pick him up. I agree. I think you ought to at least see
him. And I will say this. If you are about to hit the submit button on Jeff Withey, you guys have my Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Maybe I'll give you even my phone number if you're willing. If you're about to click submit for on the waiver button for Jeff Withey, just don't do it. Don't do it. Just calm down. What do you mean? What is that, Mark?
That seems like you're going out of your way to insult Jeff Withey. What did Jeff Withey ever do to you?
And you really do have a soft spot for these Jazz. I'm just trying to help. I don't want our listeners to lose. What do you mean? I want our listeners to dominate. So I'm just saying, like, don't. I'm saying, don't.
No, in a standard league, you're not picking up Jeff Withey. No,
I'm saying, don't.
If you played in a super deep league and you needed blocks, you probably still shouldn't pick up Jeff Withey, but you could think about it.
Mark, I'm deducting like 4 points for your love of the Utah Jazz. It's just making your views very scattered here.
He's averaged in the last five games. He's only played 14 minutes, but he's averaged 1.2 blocks. So and last game he got 7 rebounds. So if you needed blocks and you played in like a 300 or 400 per player league, I think you could pick up Jeff Withey.
All right, you heard it. Mark says pick up Jeff Withey. Whereas I am against it. But yeah. Let's move on to Utah, man.
So I mentioned this already, just to reiterate, Derek Favors missed his last game and is questionable for Monday's game with the back spasms. I'm not sure what to tell you to do with in a weekly lock league. I think we should get some more information right before lineups lock on Monday. You want to pay special attention to that. The good news is we don't have to wait till Tuesday where your lineup already locks. You can probably get some information about him, but I would be a little bit concerned with him.
Yeah.
The hard part about though is if he comes back, you got to feel like he's going to really do well with as their short staff there.
I'm trying to see like how many minutes Trevor Booker got yesterday.
He 28, I think.
Yeah, I mean, again, like especially if you're playing like DFS or, you know, even season long, he's not a guy. If he's going to get 28 minutes, he's not a guy that I don't hate. I mean, God, his numbers yesterday were just awful in 27 minutes. But I do like him over Trey Lyles, though. So if there's one, you know, if you're really having to choose between like Booker or Lyles, you know, I don't mind Booker, especially in like a DFS format, even like a no halftime. If you want to roll out Booker, he does have the upside to give to put a big game together. So I don't mind him either, I guess.
All right, Daniel, we're running out of show here, but I want to go over some of the other injury news just real briefly here. Marcus Smart, who's out for the last 18 games, he made an appearance on Sunday, or at least was active for the game. Do you have that box score up? Can you tell us how he did?
Yeah, he and they beat Detroit. Boston keeps getting nice wins. So
New York, right? Are you looking at the right box score? They played New York.
Yeah,
Marcus Smart. He only played a quarter.
Go ahead.
He only played a quarter. He played 13 minutes. He had 6 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. So obviously he's not back up to his full workload, but it is good to see him at least on the court playing after missing those 18 games.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing was also, like, you saw Evan Turner still got 30 minutes, Isaiah Thomas 32, Avery Bradley 31. So it didn't really impact those guys' minutes as of yet. So,
but I think it will.
Oh, absolutely, it will. It's just a matter of time. But, you know, it looks like for another probably week or so, you're probably going to be okay. But then, you know, after that, then, you know, all those guys' minutes are going to come down, which stinks.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant is probable for Monday's game with a sore knee. So on Sunday, Byron Scott did some really weird things. He played Kobe Bryant 2 12-minute stints to try to help him manage his knee. So he played the entire first quarter and the entire fourth quarter, or excuse me, third quarter. He didn't play anything in the second or fourth quarters. He still put up 15 shots. He had 19 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. So something to watch. He may sit out some games. It seems like they're trying to make, you know, put him on a maintenance program and do some different things with him. So definitely keep an eye on him. I'm a little bit nervous about locking him into a weekly lineup league, but as of yet, it seems like he's going to play.
Thing about Kobe though, I don't think he's going to miss like any games. Like I think it's going to be very rare for him to be missing games. Like they may limit his minutes, like you said, do some weird funky things, like play 12 minutes here, 12 minutes there, and sit out whole quarters. But like, you know,
Kobe. I don't think he's going to rest games, but I think if his knee is bothering him to this point, I think there's a chance he has to sit out for an extended period of time in the near future.
I guess we'll see. But I mean, Kobe knows this is the last time around, so he doesn't have, you know, he's not like he's saving himself for next year or anything. And plus, he knows.
Or the playoffs.
Right, that too. And he knows all these opposing teams, all these opposing arenas, they're selling tickets, you know, to see Kobe. So he wants to go out there and, you know, and put up his 40 shots and shoot 30% for these teams. So. I would expect him to play as much as possible.
Jonas Valanciunas, who has also missed a significant number of games, he's going to be active for Monday. He's not expected to play big minutes, so keep an eye on that situation. If you have him, you might want to leave him on your injury reserve for a few games while he recovers, but looks like he's on the mend and should be back within the next week or so completely. And the last note we have, Chandler Parsons is no longer in a minutes restriction. Coach Carlisle said he's plans to play roughly, you know, 33 to 36 minutes per game going forward. So you should, if you weathered the Chandler Parsons storm,
congrats.
You made it. He should be useful from here on out.
Yeah. I mean, if he's available, go grab him. He was dropped in a lot of leagues, but if he is somehow still available in your league, go get him right now. Like he's going to be, you know, an asset to have for the rest of the year.
Agreed. Daniel, is there anything else you want to talk about?
There's a couple guys that I want to touch on. So,
okay.
And the first guy, man, and we've talked about him, and you know, again, this guy's been haunting us for at least 2 years now. Kelly Olynyk, dude's been balling. He's been a monster, especially if you have like formats like DFS, or if you were smart enough to pick him up in the season long when Amir Johnson went out. But now Amir Johnson is back. You know, are you? Still, you know, what are your thoughts on Olynyk? You know, you're going to add him anywhere? Did you add him anywhere? Does Amir Johnson kill his value to you?
Yeah, I still don't trust what's going on in Boston. I just think it's such an uncertain situation. I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where Brad Stevens sticks with any of these guys, in part because that's his style and in part because they're not that good of NBA players. I generally look for reasons not to pick up Celtics big men rather than reasons to pick up Celtics big guys. And this wasn't reason enough to talk me into picking him up.
All right. Fair enough. My next thing is the Lakers, going back to the Lakers real quick. So give me your thoughts on three players, Lou Williams, Jordan Clarkson, actually four, I guess. And you can do it fast. Lou Williams, Jordan Clarkson, you know, Russell and Randle basically go hand in hand because, you know, they get the same amount of minutes, you know, basically, you know, every night. Some nights Byron Scott plays them 12 minutes. Some nights he plays them together 20 minutes. So what are your thoughts on those guys and what to do?
Yeah, and Coach Scott already said that he's not going to put Russell and Randle in the starting lineup at least for the until January.
Because let me tell you something. Like I have both of these guys in a couple different leagues. And like even in limited minutes, they're still – putting up like nice numbers.
They seem to be doing better in their bench role than they did as starters, which is probably because they're playing with unuseful players.
Well, they also get the ball. They don't have Kobe, you know, hijacking the ball. So
that's what I'm saying is they're playing with guys that aren't, you know, in the starting lineup, they're playing with Lou Williams and Kobe Bryant. Like when are you ever going to shoot?
So let's talk Lou first though. So Lou's still getting bumbling Lou Williams. I don't know why I said bumbling. I actually like Lou, but he's still getting like over 30 minutes a game. But he's been dreadful lately. Again, he's a one-trick pony, very scoring dependent. Like, is there any scenario where you would consider owning Lou Williams if you know he's going to be getting 30 minutes a game?
I think if you're in a head-to-head league where you're punting certain categories, like this year, I'm in a head-to-head league where I punted field goal percentage and blocks. Lou Williams is a useful player to me because he's going to get me scoring. He's going to get me three-pointers. I don't care about his bad field goal percentage. He does a little bit in assists and steals. So, yeah, I mean, those type of leagues. But I'm also not worried about dropping him when I need to drop him either.
Which, no, you probably will need to do. I mean, he is
struggling. The last five games, he's only scored 14 points total. He's shot, let's see, 3 of 21 in those games. And if he's not scoring, he's not doing anything for you.
Yeah, he's been so bad, and I'm beginning to think he's having girlfriend issues as well. Not that I'm having, you know, girlfriend issues, because I can't even get the girl's number. But, you know, that's beside the point. But, you know, if you Google, like, Lou Williams' girlfriend from last year in Toronto, you will find, like, some fascinating things, FYI, to our listeners. So, all right, lastly, what are your thoughts on Jordan Clarkson? Because this guy is so frustrating to own. Only 9 shots today. He never gets any shots because Kobe's taking all the shots.
He might be dealing with that situation where, like, D'Angelo Russell was dealing with, where he's got to play with Kobe Bryant and Lou Williams, and so where his shot's going to come from.
Exactly.
I still think he's pretty useful. He's probably their best player, like, if you're just talking about basketball skill at this point, he's probably their best player.
So if you could keep Clarkson or Russell, who would you take? Because I actually have this scenario right now in one of my leagues. And it's like infuriating because, like, you know, so I basically ended up taking Russell, but like I don't
feel strongly either way. I know that's kind of a cop out answer.
No, it's not.
I would probably take Clarkson, but, you know,
it's close.
Whatever. Like if I had D'Angelo Russell and somebody offered me Clarkson for D'Angelo Russell, I'd probably just say no thanks because who cares? Like, it's the same to me at this point. That's not to say that they'll end the season the same, but I feel like, based on what we know so far, I feel like they're equal value.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame because it really would be fun to see. I mean, I guess we'll see it next year, like without Kobe, like what these guys could put up. But can we agree on this? So are we in consensus with that? The two of us agree that Jeff Hornacek should coach the Lakers, Byron should be fired, and D'Antoni should coach Phoenix. That would solve like a lot of problems, wouldn't it?
I think Los Angeles is happy to have Scott coaching because they're looking to keep their draft pick. Yeah.
Maybe. All right, man. That's all I got.
All right. Tell everybody where your website is again.
So my website is dgcourtroomdfs.com. You can also find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1.
All right, everybody. Daniel will be back with hosting the show tomorrow. I'll be off, but who's joining you? Is it Tyler?
I think so.
You and Tyler are going to take the reins tomorrow. Talk about all the fantasy goodness that happens on Monday night and the news of the day. And then I will be back on Wednesday for the final podcast of the week before we head into the last couple of days of the holiday season. Until then, hopefully you guys enjoy some basketball, and thanks a lot for listening. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.